to listen what she is thankful to God for.
Thank you, Peter. Do you see me? Unfortunately, I didn't grow, like, if it's about my height in this year, I hoped, but not. Okay. So today, as you know, we are speaking about being thankful and giving thanks to God. And when Peter asked me to, share my personal experience with being thankful, and when I was thinking, what can I say? One memory just like pumped to my head, and it's a true story, and it's a bit funny story. So if you want to laugh, you have my permission. You can do it. And it was a day when I decided to be thankful, despite my feelings, despite circumstances. When in my point of view, it was impossible to be thankful, and God really changed my day. So that's why I want to share it. It was about 3 or 4 years ago. I was on my first or second year of my university. And I'm pretty sure that every girl, every woman has this day in her life. Maybe also like a man, but I'm not a man, so it's hard for me to say. As I woke up, I didn't feel right with myself. I just felt so bad. I felt so ugly. I felt like a monster. And I didn't like anything in me. There was absolutely nothing that I liked in myself. And I didn't like my hair, my body, my face, anything. And I was really sad and I was really upset. And I was even more depressed because I couldn't stay at home this day. I couldn't hide myself in my room. I had to go out and meet with other people. So it was really hard for me to do it because that day I had a temporary job. I was giving a math lesson. So I really had to do it. I had a planned meeting. And so it was really, really difficult for me because I didn't want to see anyone, absolutely no one. And as I was thinking about it, I started to think that a couple of days before it, in my church, we spoke that God's word has the power to change everything, has power to change our lives, every situation, has the power to change us, and even the thoughts that we think about ourselves. So I thought, okay, so what can I do? Nothing left. I cannot change the way that I look, so I can just pray for myself. And I started to pray, and I started to proclaim God's word on me. You know the Psalm 139? It really has a power. And I started to pray, like, God, thank you that you created me. Thank you that I'm wonderfully and carefully made. Thank you that you put something special in me. Thank you that I'm absolutely beautiful in you. And thank you that when other people look at me, they see you. And they are absolutely amazed by it. Thank you that my body works. Thank you that everything has a purpose. And so on. And as I left home and I was walking to the tram station, I kept this prayer in my head, like, thank you, God. You know, nothing changed. I look exactly the same. Like the same hair, the same clothes, the same body, the same face. So shame, but it was still my face. And but I was keeping this prayer in my head. Thank you, God. And as I went out of the tram and I was walking to the place where I should meet, I need to say that it was Saturday, really, really morning, 6:30, no one on the street. So I was so surprised because I didn't expect that I can hear or see anyone. And as I was walking, one car appeared on the road and there was a car full of boys. And probably they were coming back like from some party. And one of them like opened the window and he shouted real loud, like, hey, beautiful girl. Really, really, really. And you know, I was so surprised because first, by his behavior, and the secondly, because I thought that I'm alone on the street, so I turned around to see who was she shouting out, and I was really shocked because there was no one, so he had to shout like at me, like it was for me. So it was really funny, like it really struck me, and I know that it's not about the shout, and it's not about this boy. But I know that through this, like through the situation, God really showed me something that, like, Ola, I listened to your prayer. I know what you prayed like on the morning, and that's my response. It's how I see you. Like, you are a beautiful daughter, and you are just beautiful. And you know, that was really, really amazing because I could see like God respond on my prayer. I made the decision to be thankful despite how I feel, and God just showed me like, yeah, that was right, that was right. And also through the situation, like through the story, God encouraged me to see that He's interested in everything in our life, every situation, even like a very little or very small, it's also important to Him, and that He wants to change everything. And when we do, when we decide to do first step, He's like right beside, like right next to us, and He wants to bless us, and He wants to walk with us in our decision. And now I'm doing Daniel Challenge, and actually I'm finishing. Woo! Yeah! And really, it was a good year. And let me think what changed. Like, I would like to share some. It's, so it's look like a look back and to see what God changed in me, like what God did in my life. And I think that one of the things that I'm really grateful for, it's that my relationship with Jesus changed. Like, I'm really grateful that I could grow in my, like, I could grow in my relationship with God. And I'm in a completely different place that I was before Daniel Challenge. So I'm really happy about it. And also, like, during this year, God really showed me that my value, who I am, comes from Him. And He showed me, like, how He sees me. And that my identity, it's from Him, and I shouldn't rely thoughts about myself on other people, opinion, affirmation. That the most important thing for me is just to look at Him and draw my value from Him. And I'm also grateful that I could meet really wonderful people. Grateful for people I could meet, people I could talk to, people I could serve. It was a really good year, and I'm so blessed by so many conversations. And it was a good year, not always was easy. I cried a lot sometimes, but it was worth it. And Dale is always keep saying to us, it's not Daniel easy, it's Daniel challenge. So I really can say that through those, I'm really grateful for challenges. That is a challenge, because through those challenges, we can change, we can be changed, and we can grow. So, amen.
So many notes, so little time. You must picture me alone in that room at Magdalen, night after night, feeling, whenever my mind lifted, even for a second, from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of Him, whom I so earnestly desired not to meet. That which I greatly feared had at last come upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God, and knelt and prayed, perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. I did not see what is now the most shining and obvious thing, the divine humility which will accept a convert even on such terms. The prodigal son at least walked home on his own feet. But who can duly adore that love which will open the high gates to a prodigal who is brought in kicking, struggling, resentful, and darting his eyes in every direction for a chance of escape? The words, compel them to come in, have been so abused by wicked men that we shudder at them. But, properly understood, they plumb the depth of the divine mercy. The hardness of God is kinder than the softness of men, and His compulsion is our liberation. The divine humility which will accept a convert even on such terms. This is a book by C.S. Lewis called Surprised by Joy. It's his testimony of how he came to faith. And I was reading this a few months ago, around about Easter time. And something which had been brewing over the course of DC suddenly struck home about this. Something which I am incredibly thankful for, that is the theme of this morning after all. I am thankful that I am not the chief agent in my salvation. This is something I am overwhelmingly thankful for. Okay, it looked a bit different for me than it did for C.S. Lewis, it's fair to say. I wasn't in Magdalen College for a start. But, well, I was born at a very early age. I've got that into every testimony I've ever done on DC. I was born into a Christian family in the Church of England. And like a lot of people, I think, who are born into Christian families, their coming to Christ is a gradual thing. It starts with very basic understanding and grows. But for me, despite this, there is one point which I point to as a turning point, where something really happened in my faith. It was the first time that I felt the presence of God. And that is my baptism. Because I was baptized into the Church of England, I think roughly about the age of 12. Do you think that's right? Something like that. As you can tell, I can't remember details very well. I remember the day roughly. I remember the glorious weather. I remember the sun on my back as I got pulled out of the river. And I remember the overwhelming presence of God, which I experienced for the first time. But I can't remember any of the details. I can't remember what I said. Luckily, however, being baptized into the Church of England, they have a standard liturgy. So I know exactly what I said because they've got it on their website. So this is a little segment of how it ran. Well, firstly, it's the Church of England, so a large candle may be lit. But from there, the person leading says, "In baptism, God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to a new life in him. Therefore, I ask, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God?" This is my cue. I say, "I reject them." "Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil?" "I renounce them." "Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor?" "I repent of them." "Do you turn to Christ as Savior?" "I turn to Christ." "Do you submit to Christ as Lord?" "I submit to Christ." "Do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life?" "I come to Christ." This was a wonderful turning point in my faith. But I was 12. I meant what I said. I was very sincere. I said this in earnest. But I was sort of like a man who, I don't know, promises to pay off the debt of his brother, not realizing that his brother is several million pounds in debt. I say what I say in earnest, and I say what I say truthfully, but I don't understand the full repercussions of what this means. I don't understand what to expect from I don't understand the results of me saying this. Here's the point, though. Here's what I'm thankful for. As Jonathan Edwards says, you contribute nothing to your salvation bar the sin that made it necessary. See, because I'm really grateful that I'm not the chief agent in my salvation. Because if I was the chief agent in my salvation, looking at my baptism and what I knew then, it wouldn't be a salvation worth having. And now, thanks to the fact that God is the driving force of my salvation, and certainly not me, I've experienced things, especially on Daniel Challenge, which my 12-year-old self didn't believe possible in God. So that's what I'm thankful for. Thank you very much.
Martin.
So good morning one more time. So today's topic of service is being thankful. And, you know, when I was thinking about it, one thought came to my mind that actually we have to learn how to be thankful, because being complain is very easy for us. We don't have to think about it as much. And I think every one of us complain a little bit in the morning, maybe. If no, I'm really impressed. For example, when we are with children and they get a lollipop, for example, we have to say them, what are you supposed to say now? And they say, thank you very much. So we have to learn how to be thankful, how to have a thankful attitude. So my talk will consist with 3 points, and it will be complaining, caring, and comparison. So I will start with complaining. And when I was preparing the talk one day, my host came to me and asked me, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, you know, I have to make 20 minutes talk for HCC service. It's horrible. And she said to me, you know, actually, you're supposed to be thankful that it's only 20 minutes, not 3/4 an hour. So I was like, yeah, actually, you are right. I'm supposed to be thankful, and it's an honor to stay in front of you and to preach, really, and to allow God to stretch myself in this speaking area, actually. So, because when we are complaining, it's actually like we would build a brick wall in front of us in direction that we would like to go, and then after some time we are surprised why we can't get through, and we don't know why we're stuck in place, and yeah. And with me and this talk, if I would complain all the time that I have to do it because it's very hard for me to prepare such things, I would close myself for God, and I wouldn't take as much from it as I took. I wouldn't listen to him, and maybe he wants to show me something through this thing, through staying here and talking to you, to open some doors in my heart and to show me that I'm capable to do things that I didn't think I am. So yes, and I would like to move also to the story of Israelites. When they were going out from Egypt. So they were crying to God to take them from slavery. And God heard them and he answered, he sent Moses. And you know, as soon as they got out from Egypt, and as soon as they came into Red Sea, they started to complain. They forgot already how bad it was in Egypt, and they started to complain. What God did, he helped them more. He showed them more miracles, more great things, like they took them through the Red Sea. He gave them food, he gave them water, he gave them another kind of food because they were complaining about the first one. Their clothes and shoes weren't destroyed during the time that they were walking on the desert. And they were still complaining. They were complaining all the time, all over again. And I was thinking, why actually? They got so many things, so many good things from God, but the only thing that they were focused on was the thing that they didn't have, and they were complaining. But with us, it's very often the same. We are praying for things. Like, oh, I would like to have a husband, I would like to have a work, I would like to have children, earn a lot of money. And you know, God hears our prayers and he answers them. And as soon as we get them, we are thinking like, actually, living with one guy under one roof, it's not like a fairy tale. Our children waking up during night, so we can't rest as much, actually. Because of our work, we don't have as much time as we had before for our hobby and stuff. We don't have as much money as we would like to have, and we complain and complain and complain. And why? Was it better before we had all those things? We should be thankful that we have them, because it's much better than it was before. So, and what kind of consequences has such attitude, ungrateful attitude? It's like when we look at Israelites, they promised land, beautiful promised land, was like 7 days in front of them, but because they were complaining all the time, it took them like 40 years to get there. So sometimes even if when we start to complain, even if we get to the point that we're supposed to get, we are late for it. And God has amazing things for us. And For example, sometimes it is calling or going somewhere or do some crazy things and stuff. But because we are complaining, we are not focused on what he wants to do. We are focused more on us, what we want to. And we can be late. And even the worst point in that was that the whole generation that went out from Egypt didn't get into the promised land. So it is very dangerous point, and we're supposed to learn how to be thankful, God, for all those things that he gave us. And sometimes when we're stuck in place, we should just stop. Okay, wait, where am I? I'm supposed to think if I were thankful, God, for all those things that he already gave me to go further. And okay, now we are coming to the second point, that is craving. when we are thinking about them going out from Egypt also, they were complaining all the time, and I was thinking, why? So they were very self-centered, and today we are living in time that everything is about humans, about us. When we look at social media and all those stuff like adverts and Facebook and stuff, everything is about us, what I can have, what I supposed to have, what I should have. When we see things in TV, it's like, oh, you have to have it. But do we? Do we have to, really? The most important thing that we should have is Jesus, actually, and what he already gave us. Because having things wouldn't give us fulfillment, wouldn't give us really fullness and happiness. And he's the only one who is taking care of us all the time. So also when I was thinking about being greedy, one character from the Bible came to my mind, and it was Lucifer. He was a very good example of a person who really wanted to have something that he shouldn't have. And I will read the passage here. You are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordinated you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walk among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways. From the day you were created to wickedness was found in you. In the pride of your heart you say, I am a God. I sit on the throne of God, in the heart of the seas. By your great skills in trading, you have increased your wealth. And because of your wealth, your heart grown proud. So I threw you to the earth. So even if he was such an amazing creation, even if he got so many things from God, he wasn't thankful to him. He was thinking about what can I have more, how I am really good. And the place when we started to think about ourselves, like me, mine, and I, it's very, very dangerous. Because he was banished from heaven, and there is no coming back for him. We really have to take care of our hearts. Because he was thinking in his heart that he's first, he's more than God. He wasn't thankful for things that he had. He was like his person was first in his heart. And above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And another example that I would like to give you is Adam and Eve. They had amazing life. You know, they were in the garden of Eden, and they had amazing relationship with God. They had a lot of food, like just, you know, live, not die. And but there was one thing that they shouldn't have, and it was the fruit. And even if it was only this one small thing, if started to think, yes, actually, I really would like to have it. And there's so many things also in our lives when we are thinking, oh, if I would have only this one small thing more, or I would earn a little bit more money, then I would be really happy, you know? But we wouldn't be happy. We won't be happy, actually. Because God is the only one who gives us happiness. And we should be thankful for things that he gave us. And I found also a very nice sentence that I wrote down. It's not happiness what makes us grateful, but it's being grateful what makes us happy. So even if we would have a lot of different things, it wouldn't make us happy. We have to learn how to say thank you, God, for things that we already have. Then we'll be really happy. So Adam and Eve were banished also from Eden. And in those both stories, they were more focused on their own person, not on God. And also one thing that I noticed, not only the people who were greedy were affected. And I thought also it's like with sin. When we sinned, we are looking for self-justice in other people. And it was with Lucifer. He took one-third of angels with him on the earth. And Adam was banished from a garden with Adam. So everything actually what people are doing and trying to do is because they define happiness by having things. But in real, actually the most important thing is to have Jesus and what he gave us and be thankful for what he is giving us, not for all those things that we can reach, like material things. And now we are coming to the third point, it's comparison. And this point actually is very personal for me. Because very often I'm thinking like, oh, you know, this girl is so beautiful. He has such a good gifting. And, oh, I would like to have such nose. My body doesn't look so nice like I would like to. It looks and stuff. And when I look in my eyes at myself, I even don't know why I'm staying here in front of you. And I would like to show you a short video now.
Number 14, the direction of your fuel arrows. Have you ever pulled up at a gas station and realized that your gas cap is on the other side? Do you remember taking the walk of shame back to the driver's side to turn the car around? As you flipped it into gear, you just knew your ancestors were shaking their head at you. But what if I told you there was a way to tell which side the gas tank is on without getting out of your car? Take a look at the gas gauge. Do you see that little icon on the dash? The one with the miniature gas pump? Bet you didn't notice that little arrow next to it. Next time you go to pull up at the pump, make sure it's pointing towards the gas pump. Number 13, pen cap holes. Kids will stick anything in their mouth if given the chance. That's why toy companies like to print those choking hazard labels on pretty much everything. So it may come as no surprise that before the hole was added to pen caps, pens caused over 100 choking deaths a year. That hole in the pen cap is so much more than a quirky design feature. It's a way to keep kids from choking on it, leaving just enough space for them to breathe through, should the cap get stuck in their throat. Number 14, the direction of your fuel arrows. Have you ever pulled up at a gas station and realized... Number 14, the direction...
Okay, so this video, when I saw this video, it showed me that sometimes we don't know why we look in this way, why we have such personality. But you know what? Designer exactly knew why he created us in such way, not different. He exactly knew why he put in us such things, not a different one. Because he, God gave us, created us on purpose, and he doesn't make any mistake. So, and he is fully satisfied in way how he made us. And yeah, he made us on purpose. And when he created us, he said, it's good. So yeah, we have to just be thankful for who we are and for how we are created. And each one of us has specific gifting and very special things that they are created for. And it was like on the first picture, like there was apple and orange. We can't compare ourselves because we are, each one of us is different and we're created for different things. So we shouldn't compare. We should be thankful for who we are and how do we look like. And I will read you another passage. It's from Corinthians. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the Christ first of all apostles, second prophets, their teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to those parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for the reason stop being part of the body. But if, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. If there were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts of but one body. And it is so amazing how God created us. And he showed us like step by step different things, and he developed all those things that he wants us to be. And you know, when I'm looking also at myself and DC, if someone would tell me 5 years ago that I will be in England and more even, that I will stay after DC, I would look at them like, "What, are you crazy?" But he prepared me for it. He taught me English. He made me a little bit more open for people. He took from me homesickness. I don't miss home. So I think parents miss me more than I them. So, yes, I still don't know a lot of things about myself, but I know that God created me exactly as he wanted. And he created me on purpose, and he gave me exactly such body as he wanted to give me. And everything was so carefully thought out in myself, and it's with you, it's with each one of you also. So it is so important also to go into fullness in what God created you. It is very important to know your weaknesses, your strength, things that you like to do and you don't like to do. And try also new things. And if it doesn't work, don't worry, just go ahead and try another things. And never say like, "Oh, I'm too late, I'm too old for change." It's never too late for change something, because you have whole life in front of you. And God gave you such an amazing gift of living your own life. And he didn't die for you to live a life of someone else. He died for you to live, for you to be happy with who you are and how you live your life. So, yeah, we should go forward all the time and never stop and be thankful for who we are, because it's very important. If we'll be thankful for who we are, we will get to the point that we will say, "Oh God, really, thank you so much that you created me like this, and I can do so many things with you, because I am in fullness of what you prepared for me during creation." So it's very, very important. So all in all, Jesus is the most important person in our life. And if we'll focus on him and we'll be thankful, there will be no space for comparison, for complaining, or for craving stuff. So complaining is very dangerous, because we close ourselves for God, and if we would complain all the time, we will never reach the fullness of what God prepared for us, actually. And sometimes when we are praying and we don't see things like we would like to see, we have to, and we know that God has perfect plan for us, we should trust him and be thankful for those things that he will give us in the future. It's very, very important. Also, craving, it's basically a pride, our pride. And then it's looking at ourselves instead of looking at God and what he has for us. And comparison, we are unique, so no one of us should compare yourself with another people, because you have different purpose on the earth, you have different things to do. It's so important to know that you are unique and you have to do what you have to do, not what your friends have to do. So, yes. And we are created for worship and praise God. So, I think it's everything that I would like to say and tell you. But I I'd like to tell you, if you really feel that you're stuck in one place and you can't move on and you don't know why, we would like to pray with you also. If you feel that you have problem with complaining and you can get through it also, we are more than happy to pray for you. And if you compare yourself also, if you can't see in yourself in God's eyes, but you look at yourself only with your eyes, we would like to pray for you also. So catch us sometime. Or now, or during the song, because it will be a song maybe later. So, yeah. Thank you.